The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the 6th chapter. Jesus said to the disciples, "Beware of practicing your righteousness before others in order to be seen by them, for then you have no reward from your Father in heaven. So whenever you give alms, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, so that they might be praised by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. But when you give alms, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your alms may be done in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And whenever you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, so that they may be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. But whenever you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And whenever you fast, do not look somber like the hypocrites, for they mark their faces to show others that they are fasting. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that your fasting may be seen not by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust consume, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust consumes, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." The Gospel of the Lord. We don't often have young children at our Ash Wednesday services. The timing is challenging, after all. During this midday service, kids are in preschool or school or need lunch or a nap, or these days both parents are at work. At 7 p.m., well, it's the end of a long day, and there's homework and baths, and for many youngsters, an early bedtime. But a little boy named Bobby did get to Ash Wednesday services. On the way home, he asked his mother about something he had heard in worship. "Is it true, Mommy, that we are made of dust?" "Yes, Bobby, that is true." "And we go back to dust again when we die?" "Yes, honey, that's what we believe." "Wow," said Bobby. "And under my bed, there's either someone who's coming or going." It's a really old joke. I apologize, but it always makes me laugh, partly because I relate to Bobby's family's housekeeping standards. Clutter makes me crazy, but I can live with a lot of dust. And the punchline is also kind of a funny take on the reality of life and death, isn't it? In our family circles, our friend groups, our neighborhoods, our congregation, we celebrate the announcement of a pregnancy and lament the news of a terminal diagnosis. Someone's always coming or going. Today, we begin our Lenten pilgrimage, and we begin with some hard truths. One hard truth is the truth of our mortality. Someday we will be going. To dust we shall return. And we try to deny that with everything we have. We fight epic battles against sickness and disease, sometimes for a temporary win, another few months or a year, and sometimes we get another decade, maybe even 20 or 30 more years to see our children and grandchildren grown, to celebrate a big wedding anniversary or significant birthday, to become one of the wise old matriarchs or patriarchs of the community. We fight epic battles against aging itself with vitamins and supplements, chair yoga and tai chi, face creams and hair color, anything that might counteract at least a little the effects of time, gravity, decay. But in the end, there is this truth. Whether it comes as a terrible tragedy when we are 8 or in the natural order of things when we are 88, we will ultimately lose the battle against our dustiness. And then, of course, there is this other truth, the truth of who we are. We are broken, weak creatures. In just a few moments, we will confess our sinfulness, that we sin by our fault, by our own fault, by our own most grievous fault. Over and over again in that litany of confession, we will plead, "Have mercy on us, O God. Have mercy on us." And then our foreheads will be smeared with ashes. Remember that you are dust. The naming of these truths, of our mortality, of our brokenness, is not meant to drive us to despair. We should not walk out of Ash Wednesday worship dejected or hopeless. This season of Lent we are beginning is a gift, a time of repentance and renewal. Yes, we are called to take a good hard look at ourselves to see how we fail, where we fail, how miserably we fail to live as God calls us to live. And yes, during Lent we are called to acknowledge how far we end up from God, separated by a chasm of sin and rebellion, unworthy, unclean, born steeped in wickedness, as our psalm for this afternoon put it. And yes, we are called to admit honestly that there is nothing, nothing we can do to earn our way back to God. We are just too broken, too flawed, too weak to bridge the chasm that lies between us and the one who created us in love. And then, yes, oh my yes, we are called to rejoice and give thanks that the chasm has been bridged anyway, not by us, not by us, but by God who sent Jesus, the beloved Son, to suffer and die for us. It is into Christ Jesus that we are baptized. It is his cross that marks our foreheads, always, forever, a promise that nothing can ever separate us from God again. It is Christ's journey to Jerusalem we will walk again these 40 days as we remember what and who we are, but more importantly, much more importantly, who Christ is and what he did for us. For it is Christ's resurrection that gives us, people of dust and ashes, hope. And so we begin our Lenten journey this day. We'll visit with a whole host of interesting characters over the next 6.5 weeks. The devil, who tempts Jesus in the wilderness, a Pharisee who wants to believe, a Samaritan woman at a well, thirsty for living water, a man blind from birth, two sisters grieving their dead brother, Lazarus. We will wave palms and shout Hosanna. We will watch Jesus wash the feet of his friends. We will witness the kiss of betrayal. We will cry out with a crowd, "Let him be crucified." And we will stand at the foot of the cross on which he hangs dying. And then in the kind of surprise twist that only our loving, awesome, merciful God can pull off, we will stand at an empty tomb and sing, Alleluia, Christ is risen. That is the glorious good news that gives us hope on Ash Wednesday and every day of our lives. Sin and death, despair and hate, dust and ashes do not have the last word. God does.